You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, From Tubing to Talking. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
The family's taken a beating in the last decades. Work habits have a lot to do with the decline of the family. There was a time when work didn't pull parents away from home like they're pulled away today. The family on the farm, the family in town with a factory only a few blocks away, these were typical situations where the family spent much more time together than the family does today. It wasn't long ago that only one parent worked. The other parent, usually mom, stayed home to tend to the children and the household duties. In fact, through most of history, employers paid a family wage. They paid the worker enough to support a family. The idea of equal pay for equal work is relatively new, and while it sounds great, it has contributed to more spouses leaving home to go into the workforce. And that leaves children to learn some of the most important lessons of life from folks other than mom and dad. Government is more involved in teaching values to children than ever before. Do you trust the government to do a good job? That's for you to answer. My point is that the family has taken such a beating in recent decades that when a family is together, that time should be well spent. So what's the typical family doing when it's home? It's watching the tube. TV watching is the greatest leisure activity today. The next five leisure activities combined don't equal the time we spend tubing. The average household in the United States has the TV set on for 7 hours a day. Adults watch 4 hours daily. Teens watch 3 hours every day. 45% of children from the first to the 10th grade have their own TV sets. And that's hurting the quality of family life. Those statistics were provided by Dr. Quentin Schultz. If you walk into a Christian bookstore and scan the titles about TV's impact upon our life, you'll see the name of Dr. Schultz. He's a recognized authority in this area. In his most recent book, Winning Your Kids Back from the Media, he coins a term for the media glutton, Bubis Americanus. Those of you in Canada can adapt it to Bubis Canadiensis or whatever fits where you live. Dr. Schultz says this, as a result of our TV gluttony, Bubis Americanus is slowly destroying family time and family communication, turning the family into an economic unit rather than a spiritual and relational group. Without adequate cross-generational communication, the wisdom of one generation cannot be passed on to the next generation. And older people cannot learn from the younger ones as well. It is increasingly likely that family members will share few values and beliefs. Instead, they'll share a love for the media. That's a terrible prospect. People who are in the closest of all human relationships, the family, should be taking time for one another. Jesus once told a parable that we can apply to our tubing habits. It's the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. You find it in Luke chapter 10. An expert in the law came forward to test Jesus. He asked, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit everlasting life?" Jesus in turn asked him, "What is written in the scriptures? What do you read there?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus told him, "You're right. Continue to do this, and you will live." but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, struck him blow after blow, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now it so happened that a priest came down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A Levite who came to the place did the same thing. He looked at him and passed by on the other side. Then a Samaritan, as he was traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he felt sorry for him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he said, 'and anything else you spend on him, I'll pay back to you when I return.' Which of those 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who had fallen into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who was kind enough to help him." Jesus told him, "Go and do as he did." If Jesus said we should take the time to show kindness to a stranger, how much more shouldn't we take time to be kind to one another? 1 John 4:20-21 say, "If anyone does not love his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that he gives us: let the person who loves God also love his brother. If you love God, you'll evaluate your tubing habits." A letter to Ann Landers made a deep impression on me several years ago. A woman with multiple sclerosis told her plight. "Last December," she wrote, "I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So far, I've been able to handle my anxiety and despair. However, I recently attended a seminar sponsored by the local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and after seeing the unfortunate condition of so many of the people there, I became overwhelmed and broke down. All I could think of was getting home so my husband could comfort me until I was able to pull myself together. When I arrived home, I asked him to hold me, and I wept in his arms. The whole time I was talking, he had one eye on the TV. Apparently, I had come home with my emotional neediness and interrupted a show he was watching. As his TV program continued and I kept talking quietly, he would glance at me and then back at the screen. I could tell he wished I would be quiet so he could give his full attention to the show. He might just as well have slapped me in the face. Talk about Bubus Americanus. But it's not just that one man. Most of us are guilty here. Dr. Schulz tells us that parents today spend 40% less time with their children than they did in 1965. Americans spend, on average, only 4 minutes a day talking with their spouses and 30 seconds per day talking with their children. Even a Bubus Americanus should be able to understand that our relationships need to be repaired. And that's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came to correct our dysfunctional relationships. That starts with your relationship to God. Remember, the expert in the law asked Jesus, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit everlasting life?" And Jesus in turn asked him, "What's written in the Scriptures? What do you read there?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus told him, "You are right." Sin has destroyed that relationship with God for every one of us. We are unable by nature to have true faith and love for God. Jesus came to fix that. Since He's God's only Son, He was able to live His life in a perfect relationship with His Heavenly Father. And when Jesus died on the cross, He suffered the Father's anger against our sins, your sins and mine, wayward children that we are. When Jesus came back to life on Easter morning, it was God saying, all really is forgiven. You are my dear children, and because of my son Jesus, you can have life, and you can have real love. When you hear of God's love for you, and when you believe it, then God is bringing you into a right relationship with Him. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is real love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Only when the gospel has drawn you into the forgiving love of God, only then can you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And only then can you love your neighbor as yourself. Only then can you truly love your family members as yourself. 19th century editor Horace Greeley once noted that the subject of deepest interest to an average human being is himself. God's love in Christ can get us out of our preoccupation with ourselves so that we take the time to show real kindness to others. That's what the Good Samaritan did. The priest and the Levite were religious people who were preoccupied with themselves. The Samaritan? Now, he's different. Despite the fact that he was a Samaritan whom the Jews despised, he took the time for someone other than himself. He stopped to help the beaten man, a dangerous thing to do on that robber-infested road. After dressing the wounds with oil and wine to prevent infection, he took him to an inn. One commentator, Dr. Fred Danker, notes that inns of that time were worse than American 50-cent-a-night hotels. So the Samaritan spent the night for the safety of the beaten man. The next day he paid the innkeeper 2 days' wages and promised to make good on any additional expenses. The love of God in Jesus can help you and your family members to take the time to be kind and loving to one another. The gospel can transform Bubus Americanus into a good Samaritan, a good family member. It can empower you to do less tubing and more talking. For example, Dr. Quentin Schultz tells me that 63% of Americans watch TV while eating dinner. If you'll turn off the TV and spend dinner talking to one another, you'll give love an opportunity to grow. When was the last time you took a walk together? When was the last time you all went out for an ice cream cone? When was the last time you sat together in silence? Not in silence because you were mad at each other, but simply sitting together in silence. Have you been golfing? Been fishing? Played catch lately with the kids? Worked in the backyard after dinner? Try some of those activities. If you turn off the TV and spend time doing things together, you'll give love an opportunity to grow. For all sorts of reasons, the family today has a difficult way to go. It's as dangerous as the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So shouldn't we see each other through the eyes of God's love? Shouldn't we take time to show love and kindness to one another while we're together? As your family journeys through life, shouldn't you take the time to pour the oil and the wine of God's healing love into your family relationships? Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.